I'm done sitting back and being patient. If she's going to tell me no, I at least want to hear it from her lips instead of enduring this prolonged silence. Good luck, man. I hope it works out for you. And at the risk of being a total hypocrite since I got in your face for checking up on Bethany, have you checked Josie out? Ash nodded. Yeah, I did. After our first meeting in the park. No skeletons in her closet that I uncovered, anyway. Okay, well, if there's anything I can do, you know you only have to ask. If you get her to agree, we'll have to hook up. And when Gabe and Mia get back from their honeymoon, we can all get together. You can introduce Josie to Mia and Bethany. They have a good group of girlfriends, and I'll tell you from experience, when they have their girls' nights out... He broke off, and a shit-eating grin attacked his face. Ash held up his hand with a groan. I know, you've already regaled me with the details of drunk, sexy women in fuck-me shoes, wanting to be fucked in those fuck-me shoes. No need to torture me further. Jace laughed, and then rose. Let me go call Bethany. I'll let you know about tonight. Where are we eating and what time? I just need to give her a heads up so she can be ready. How about the Bryan Park Grill right after work? Jace nodded. Sounds good. We'll see you there. Chapter 9. Brittany was noticeably nervous at dinner, though Bethany was a complete doll, easing the awkwardness and treating Brittany like a long-lost friend. The Bryan Park Grill was hopping, as it was every day right after work hours. It was filled with suits, businessmen and women enjoying cocktails after a day at work. It was a popular after-work haunt, but that wasn't why Ash chose it. He'd chosen it because he thought he might see Josie there. But according to the man Ash had assigned to keep tabs on Josie, she hadn't been out of her apartment at all for several days. Maybe she was working furiously to finish a new piece of art for the gallery. Maybe she wasn't giving his proposition a moment's thought. He told Jace he'd give her until tomorrow, but he was only half paying attention to the dinner conversation because he was tempted to go to Josie's apartment unannounced. Patience. Jace had said to have patience. Ash nearly snorted over the hypocrisy of that statement, even if Jace had admitted it. Their food was served, and Brittany had finally relaxed, even smiling in Ash's direction. At one point, she leaned toward him so only he would hear and said, "Thank you, Ash. You can't know what this means to me. You're the only family I have now. The others have cut all ties. They treat me like I'm some sort of traitor for wanting to have my own life. You understood what I wanted and needed, and you didn't judge me for it." Ash smiled. "Join the Outcast Club. It's not so bad, really. The longer you remain away from them, the more perspective you'll gain, and you'll realize that this is something you would have been happier doing a lot sooner. But you've done it, and that's all that counts. It'll get easier, I promise." "Does it bother you?" she asked in an earnest voice. "I mean, does it bother you that they treat you like an outsider? That they have such disdain for you and your success?" Ash shrugged. "It did in the beginning, I suppose. I haven't given it much thought over the last few years. I have good friends, and they're my family. And now, you." Her face lit up. The shadows chased from her eyes in a flash. "I'm glad we can be family, Ash. I really mean that. I'm not going to let you down. I know I didn't get the job on my own, but I'm not going to make you regret giving it to me." They were interrupted by the ringing of Ash's cell phone. He reached automatically for it, holding his breath without realizing at first that he was doing so. It could be Josie. He'd waited a damn week for something, anything from her. But when he looked at the incoming name, he frowned. It wasn't Josie. It was the man assigned to Josie. "Excuse me, I have to take this," Ash said as he rose, already pushing the button to accept the call. He walked away from the table to a quieter area near the restrooms. "Ash," he said shortly.
"Mr. McIntyre, I know my reports have been much the same all week. Miss Carlyle hasn't left her apartment until now, and I knew you'd want to know what I saw."
"What?" Ash demanded.
"She's sporting one hell of a black eye. Split lip. Looks like someone took a shot at her. I could be wrong. Could have been an accident, but I doubt it. And it could be why she hasn't left her apartment."
Ash swore.
Where's she headed now? Are you on her?
Yeah, I'm following her now. Looks like she's headed to the gallery. She had several canvases when she got into a cab. I'll keep you posted.
Do that, Ash murmured as he hung up. He stood for a moment, his mind filled with rage at the idea that someone had abused Josie in some way. And then he cursed the fact that he hadn't asked his man if Josie had been anywhere or if she'd had visitors. Surely he would have reported it if she had, but then he hadn't had her shadow back on the job until 2 days after their dinner. He thought she would have contacted him by then, and when she hadn't, he'd put his man back on her to monitor her activities. Obsessed? Yeah, that was one word for it. Demented was another. He was acting like a crazed stalker, the kind most women would do well to steer clear of. Only he wasn't going to harm Josie. But he was kicking himself for not keeping his man on her because someone had hurt her, or at the very least, she'd been injured in some way. Why hadn't she called him? Why hadn't she come to him for help? She had to know after their conversation that he would take care of her. With a muttered curse, he returned to the table where Brittany, Jace, and Bethany all looked up at him. Concern immediately flashed in their eyes. His expression must have been grim for them to have picked up on his mood so quickly. I'm sorry to cut this short, but I have to go. Brittany, I'll make it up to you soon. Promise. Jace and Bethany, thank you both for coming. And please, all of you, finish your dinner. I'll see you all later. As he turned to walk away, Jace called out to him. Ash, everything okay? Ash sent him a look he knew Jace would pick up on. He'd know it had to do with Josie, and he'd understand. Jace nodded once and then turned back to the women, smiling and engaging them both in conversation. Breathing a sigh of relief and knowing he owed Jace for taking over, he picked up the phone to call for his driver. If Josie was going to the gallery, she'd probably go right back home since she hadn't been anywhere else in the last several days. He'd take care of buying the art she'd taken in later, but right now, he was going to be at her apartment waiting for her to return, and then they were going to have a serious come-to-Jesus moment. Chapter 10 Josie breathed a sigh of relief as the cab pulled to a stop at the corner of the cross street her apartment was on. She hadn't wanted to venture out at all, but she'd wanted to get more of her artwork to Mr. Downing. While the money from the sale of her previous works would tide her over for the next few months, she'd wanted to get more to him so the buyer wouldn't lose interest or think she didn't have anything else to offer. As she paid her fare and stepped out of the cab, she self-consciously put a hand to her bruised cheek and winced when her fingers brushed over the corner of her mouth where her lip had been split. Head down, she hurried down the sidewalk toward her apartment, only wanting to be back inside and out of view of anyone. Though she had nothing to be ashamed of, she still felt embarrassed over what had happened. Shocked. Completely and utterly shocked that Michael had come to her apartment and lost his temper, something that had never happened before. She was still in disbelief over it all. She should have pressed charges. She should have done a lot of things, but she'd been too numb to take it all in. So instead, she'd sequestered herself in her studio apartment and worked feverishly to take her mind off the events of the last week. She knew she owed Ash a response, an explanation, something. She'd told him she wouldn't take long, but how could she go to him with bruises inflicted by a man who'd been her dominant? Of course, it was laughable now. He wasn't a true dominant. He'd been playing at it. It was an ego trip for him. He'd become someone completely different the moment he realized she was serious about ending their relationship. Her mistake had been mentioning Ash at all. Not that she'd called him by name, but she'd told Michael that he couldn't give her the things another man had promised her. Now, she wasn't so certain. What if Ash was no better? She knew next to nothing about him. She'd been ready to commit, had actually made up her mind to call him the same day Michael had come to her apartment. After that fiasco, she'd harbored doubts, and self-preservation had kicked in. If Ash was more intense than Michael, and it was evident he definitely was, then could she expect the same kind of treatment at his hands, or even worse? Her head spun with the possibilities, and she knew she was in no emotional state to be making such a huge decision. To place her trust, her well-being, her entire self into the hands of a man like Ash. And so, she'd remain silent, mulling over her decision, going back and forth.
The fact was, she was afraid, and that fear had prevented her from either accepting or declining his proposition. And she hated that fear. It wasn't how she wanted to live her life or make her decisions. She needed a clear head before taking that huge step in trusting another man who could very well turn out just like Michael. She heaved an unhappy sigh and reached into her pocket to retrieve the keys to her apartment. Her head was still down when she reached the steps, and she saw an expensive pair of shoes directly above the first step leading down to her door. Startled, she glanced up to see Ash standing there. As he looked her over, fury blazed in his eyes, and she took an instinctive step backward. "What the hell happened to you?" he demanded. He was seething, anger bristling from him in waves. Gone was any semblance of charm or laid-back calm. He was one huge ball of pissed-off alpha male. "Please not here," she whispered. "I just want to go inside. Let me by and then leave." His expression of complete what-the-fuck made her pause as she attempted to push by him. He grasped her shoulders, his grip firm but extremely gentle, his fingers against her skin but not pressing into her flesh. "I want to know who the fuck did this to you," he growled. Her shoulders sagged, and she nearly dropped the keys that dangled precariously from her fingers. She tightened her grip and then pushed her chin upward. "Let me by," she said through clenched teeth. To her surprise, he dropped his hands and let her go down the steps. But he followed closely behind, giving her no option to go in and shut the door to prevent his entry. She sighed as she unlocked her door and pushed it open. She felt better the moment she was inside, her own space. It was laughable that she felt safe here after what had happened with Michael, but now that she knew just what he was capable of, she'd never make the mistake of letting him within a mile of her. She dropped her purse by the door and walked into her tiny living area. Ash closed the door, sliding the deadbolt into place, and then he too entered her living room, a room that suddenly seemed way smaller with him in it. He stood there, staring at her, his gaze relentless as he did a thorough up and down of her body, stopping once again on the bruise on her cheek. His eyes grew cold, and she shivered. "I haven't heard from you," he began. She flushed guiltily and lowered her gaze, not wanting him to see all she wanted to hide. "And now I'm thinking there was a reason you haven't called me." Slowly, she nodded, still not meeting his gaze. "Josie, look at me." His voice was soft, gentle even, but it was definitely not a request. It was a command, one she felt compelled to obey. Slowly, she lifted her head so their eyes met. "Who did this to you?" Gone was the gentleness, replaced by an edge of steel to his tone. His entire body vibrated with fury, and it made her hesitant to tell him what had happened, how she'd ever thought him not dangerous, or perhaps charming, or affable. She had no clue. Because the man standing in front of her right here, right now, looked capable of terrible things. And it wasn't that she was afraid of him. No, she knew instinctively, even as she was shrouded in fear over what had already happened to her, that this man would not hurt her. But he was angry. Angry didn't even begin to describe what she saw in his eyes. And he absolutely looked capable of killing someone. She found herself not wanting to tell him because she feared not him, but what he'd do. "Josie, answer me," he said through his teeth. "Who did this to you?" He wasn't going to allow her not to tell him. And though she didn't fear reprisal, she knew she absolutely had to obey him. He wouldn't allow her to duck the question. She firmly believed he'd stand here all night, do whatever it took to get what he wanted. She closed her eyes and exhaled in a long, weary sigh, her shoulders sagging in defeat. "Michael," she whispered, her voice so low she could barely hear it herself. Maybe she hadn't even really voiced it. "Say that again?" The words whipped from his lips, snapping through the air with enough force that she felt them. She chanced a glance up and immediately flinched at the look on his face. It was terrifying. "You heard," she whispered in only a slightly louder voice.
You're telling me that motherfucker put those bruises on your face? That he split your lip?
He advanced, and she rapidly took a step backward, which only seemed to piss him off even more.
God damn it, Josie, I'm not going to hurt you. I'll never fucking hurt you.
The words were explosive. Not exactly soothing, and yet she took comfort in the vehemence with which he made the vow. So much so that she took a step back toward him, so they now only stood a foot apart. His entire body still vibrated with rage. His green eyes were nearly black. The green just a thin ring around the dilated pupils. And then he raised his hands, slowly, as if he feared frightening her. He cupped her face in his palms, his touch infinitely gentle, and she didn't know how he could possibly pull that off when the rest of his body was taut with fury and his expression was so black. But that touch was so exquisitely tender that she literally melted into his hands. She felt no pain, even though her face was still painful to touch several days after the incident. He brushed his fingers over the bruise, and then traced the split at her lip, so lightly that she nearly didn't feel it. I'll kill him. Ash's voice was absolute. The resolution in his voice made her blood chill in her veins, because she believed him. In this moment, she believed him absolutely capable of killing the man who'd hurt her. Her pulse leapt, and her breathing accelerated as panic shot down into her belly.
No, Ash, please, just let it go. This is why I didn't want to tell you, why I haven't called.
She would have said more, but he put his finger over the uninjured part of her mouth to silence her.
Let it go.
His tone was deadly.
You want me to fucking let it go when that motherfucker put his hands on you?
What the fuck happened, Josie? And I want every goddamn detail. Nothing left out. I want to know when this happened. I want to know how many times he hit you. And above all, I want to know why the hell you didn't immediately come to me or call me the instant this happened. Her mouth went slack against his finger. And then, as if he changed his mind entirely, he pulled away, turning to survey her living room, glancing toward the open archway to her bedroom. I'm taking you to my apartment, he said firmly. You're moving in with me.
Wait, what? Ash, I can't. This isn't negotiable, Josie.
His eyes glittered with purpose, and his stance was rigid, brooking no compromise. You're coming with me. Now let's go into your bedroom. You're going to sit on the bed and tell me what you need packed for tonight. Tomorrow we can go over what you have to have or want moved to my place, and I'll arrange for someone to come in and have everything brought over. But when we have this conversation about that son of a bitch, and we are having that conversation, it's going to be in a place where you feel absolutely safe. A place where you know no harm will come to you. That's in stone. Her mouth dropped open even farther. But even amid the utter shock of his proclamation came relief. Comfort. But mostly, overwhelming relief. The decision had been wrested from her hands, and at the moment she embraced that. Her worries, fears, surrounding Ash seemed silly now. That she'd even entertained that he might be like Michael, or that she would be entering an even worse situation than the one she'd just come from, seemed absurd.
I can pack my own things, she whispered.
There was a sudden fire in his eyes, satisfaction over her capitulation. Maybe he'd expected her to fight it more, or even to outright refuse, though she could see he had no intention of backing down.
Didn't say you couldn't pack.
What I said was that you're going to sit on your bed while I do this for you. All I need from you is to tell me what you want for tonight and maybe tomorrow. The rest will be taken care of after you and I have talked later tonight.
Wow.
Okay. This was moving at supersonic speed. She felt like she'd just gotten off an insane roller coaster ride and was still trying to gain her bearings. He held out his hand to her, not moving to her or taking it on his own. He simply held it out, waiting. Waiting for her to accept. To take his hand. And to enter his world. Taking a deep breath, she reached out, sliding her palm over his upturned one. He gathered her fingers gently in his hand and then squeezed, holding firmly. Like he was forging an unbreakable bond between them. Then he pulled her gently toward her bedroom, and she followed, allowing him to lead her inside, where he sat her on the edge of the bed as if she were incredibly fragile. something precious and breakable. He backed away and did a quick survey. Do you have an overnight bag?
In the closet, she said huskily.
She watched in stupefaction as he briskly began to pack under her quiet direction. Didn't they have it all turned around? He was doing everything for her. What had she done for him? But then, he had said he'd give a lot, but he'd take everything. She shivered lightly, wondering just how much he'd take, and if she'd have anything left when he'd taken his fill. Chapter 11. Ash wasn't a stupid man. He knew he'd pressured Josie, given her no time to breathe, analyze, or react to his arrogant demand, and it had been the height of arrogance to sweep into her apartment and order her to move into his. So it was with brisk efficiency that he hurried about his task, because the longer she sat on that bed looking overwhelmed and befuddled, the more time she'd have to reconsider her quiet agreement, which meant he risked her not coming home with him. And that was not an option. He packed an overnight bag, called his driver to make sure he'd be waiting outside Josie's apartment, and then he hustled her toward the door, not giving her any further time to process the whirlwind event. After urging Josie into the car, he closed her door and paused only a moment to call his doorman and ask him to go up to Ash's apartment and take down the painting of Josie from his bedroom and store it, along with the others in his living room, until Ash retrieved them. He didn't want Josie to know he was the one who'd bought her work. Not yet. When he got into the car next to her, he relaxed and then glanced sideways, taking in her pale, shaken face. The bruises pissed him off, enraged him. The split at the corner of her mouth stood out, a reminder that another man had put his hands on what Ash already considered his, that the man would have put his hands on any woman in such a manner, not just Ash's woman, but any woman, but most especially his woman.
I don't know if this is a good idea, Ash, she said quietly, speaking for the first time since she'd given him hesitant instructions on what to pack for her.
It's a very good idea, he said firmly. You would have already come to me if it weren't for that asshole. You know it, and I know it. Now, we still have to address the matter of Michael, and we'll do it when we're in a place you feel safe and secure, and you'll do it in my arms, where you know nothing bad is going to touch you. But know this, what he did doesn't change one thing about you and me. We're inevitable, Josie. From that first day in the park, we were inevitable. Fighting is a waste of time and mental energy. I'm not fighting it, and I don't want you fighting it either. Her mouth parted in surprise. Her eyes flashed, not in anger, but in recognition. Good. They were getting somewhere because she was starting to see what he saw. What he knew. Not happy that you kept this from me, he continued, that you didn't come to me the minute this happened. But we'll work on that. You weren't mine yet, even if I knew you were. But you are now, and you'll come to me any time you have a problem. Slowly, she nodded, and satisfaction, triumph, gripped him. He held out his arm, not liking the distance between them, but not wanting to push her too hard. Not yet. He'd already pushed enough. He wanted her next move to be of her own doing, and so he waited, arm outstretched, toward her. She came readily, with no hesitation, and he liked that. She slid next to him, burrowing into his side so he could wrap his arm around her, and he did, anchoring her against him. She laid her head against his chest, the top resting just underneath his chin. He liked her tucked there. She gave a soft sigh and then seemed to melt into him, her body sagging as if a great weight had been lifted off. Relief. The scent of her hair tantalized him, soft and sweet like her. He ran his hand up the length of her arm, enjoying the feel of her skin and knowing that soon he'd discover all of her flesh. But for now, she needed comfort, safety, a sense of security. She needed to know that he would never hurt her, never raise his hand to her as Michael had done. He pressed his lips to her hair and inhaled even as he pressed the kiss to her head. Deep. Yeah, he was in deep. He didn't even have a fully thought-out plan. He'd acted on instinct,
knew he had to have her, knew he had to have her in his space, and he knew if he didn't press now, that he'd likely lose her. Overwhelming her seemed the best idea, even if it made him a total bastard. But he wouldn't compare himself to Michael. He wasn't that man. He might not be the most understanding, patient, and considerate person, and he definitely did not back down when he wanted something, but he'd never, ever raise his hand to a woman. The idea appalled him. But he absolutely had no such problem meeting violence out on the bastard who'd hurt Josie. He shoved that thought aside because he knew it had to be dealt with later, and it would be dealt with. But Josie came first. Her needs, her comfort. Starting right now. The drive was silent, and Ash did nothing to disturb it. He knew Josie was processing the evening's events, knew she was probably having second and third and fourth thoughts, but she was here in his arms, and as long as she was here and not in her apartment, he could fight dirty. Instead, he simply stroked her skin, sliding his palms up and down her arms, offering her comfort the best way he knew how. "I'm sorry, Ash," she said quietly, her words nearly lost against his chest. His hands stopped their upward progress, and he tilted his head downward so he could better hear her. "Why are you sorry?" "For not calling you, for not responding when I said I would. I was just so freaked out."
He slid his fingers underneath her chin and turned her face, tipping it upward so her gaze met his. Then he put a finger over her lips.
"Not now. And you won't apologize to me. There's nothing to apologize for. We'll talk this out, Josie. I want to hear every word, but not here. For now, just sit here with me and let me hold you. When we get to my apartment, we'll talk. But even then, you won't apologize for something that was not your doing. I may not have liked that you didn't reach out to me when you needed someone, but I understand."
Her smile was tremulous, and warmth entered her eyes, removing some of the uncertainty and anxiety that had taken residence in the aquamarine pools.
"There, that's better," he said. "You have such a beautiful smile. I'm going to ensure that you do it more often, Josie. I'm going to make you happy. That's a guarantee."
She cocked her head, a baffled expression crossing her face.
"I'm at a loss, Ash. Things like this just don't happen. They don't. A part of me thinks I've entered the Twilight Zone. It's all crazy."
He smiled indulgently. "In my world they do. Or at least they do now. Can't say this has ever happened to me either, so we're both entering new territory. But it's your world too, Josie. There are no rules but the ones we make ourselves. Can't say I've ever been much of a traditionalist anyway. I'm too much of a do-it-my-own-way-and-fuck-the-rest-of-the-world kind of guy." Her smile broadened, her teeth flashing, and an adorable dimple forming in her cheek. It fascinated him, made him want to trace the indentation and then follow it with his tongue.
"I'm kind of getting that about you. I pity the person that ever tells you that you can't do something."
"Yeah, that doesn't go over too well," he admitted.
"I'll try not to be the person who pisses you off by telling you no, then."
His smile faded, and he stared intently into her eyes. "I hope to hell I never give you reason to tell me no. But if you do, Josie, understand. I won't ignore that word. Unless it has something to do with your safety or well-being. Or if it means you walking away from me, no is a deal-breaker. It means I stop whatever I'm doing. So use it wisely. And only if you mean it, because I take that word very seriously." Her eyes went soft, and she leaned further into him, her body molding so very temptingly to his. His balls ached, his dick was stiff as a board, and his teeth were clenched tight as he sought to control his physical reaction to her nearness. This woman did it for him. He had no explanation for why. He barely knew her, but he knew he had to have her. Knew he would have her, knew they were going to be tangled up and that he had no desire to extricate himself. He also knew that this woman was different from all the women who'd come before her. That part,
scared the shit out of him, and excited him all at the same time. What if she was the one? That woman who, when a man saw her, he was instantly struck with the knowledge that he was done for. Like Mia was for Gabe. Like Bethany was for Jace. The one. He couldn't even wrap his mind around it. Wasn't even going there. It was too soon. The entire situation was crazy. He was moving her into his apartment. He was taking over her life. He hadn't thought beyond that to what next. Because what the hell was next? Other than getting Josie in his bed, under his hand, submissive, fully submissive to his every need and desire, just as he would see to her every need and desire, wasn't that enough? It had to be, because he wouldn't let himself think beyond that. His driver pulled to a stop on the side street to his apartment building and then got out to open the door for Ash. Ash stepped out first, sliding away from Josie, and then extending his hand to help her from the back seat. He tucked her into his side and then collected her overnight bag from the driver before hurrying toward the entrance.
"You live by the Hudson,"
Josie said faintly, staring in the direction of the river.
"Yeah, nice view from the top. Come on up, let's get you inside."
They rode the elevator to the top floor, and he carried her bag inside, guiding her toward the bedroom. She stiffened slightly when they entered the master suite, and she glanced sideways, caution reflected in her eyes. He tossed her bag onto the bed and then pointed toward the bathroom.
"I'll give you time to get changed into what you're sleeping in. I'll be in the kitchen fixing you a glass of wine. Take your time."
"Where am I sleeping?"
she murmured. He put his hands to her shoulders and let his palms glide down her shoulders.
"In my bed, Josie. With me."
Anxiety crept into her gaze. He leaned forward and pressed his lips to her forehead, feeling particularly tender toward her. Perhaps it was the vulnerability, the worry and fear he could see in her eyes. "When we talk, Josie, it will be in my bed. You in my arms. You safe. And you'll know that. But you're only sleeping. That's why you're changing into your nightclothes. You won't wear them again, but tonight, you need that barrier because you're still not sure of me. After tonight, you will be." He kissed her one last time, and then he turned, leaving her in his bedroom alone to change. He went into the kitchen, taking his time as he took down two glasses and opened a bottle of wine. He remembered that she didn't drink much in the way of alcohol, but she had mentioned she liked an occasional glass of wine, and it would most certainly help her relax tonight. He didn't know for certain, but he imagined her to prefer red wine. She'd want something with color, vibrant and flavorful, nothing devoid of warmth like white wine. He frowned when he realized his own dinner had been interrupted, and since he'd gone straight to Josie's and met her upon her arrival, it was likely she hadn't eaten either. He rummaged in the fridge for fruit salad and several wedges of gourmet cheese. He arranged a tray, pulling bread and crackers from the pantry to accompany the cheese and fruit, and something sweet. Didn't all women enjoy chocolate? His housekeeper often left him delectable homemade treats, and this week's offering was chocolate mousse with a cream cheese topping. There were 5 individual dessert dishes on the top shelf of the fridge, so he pulled 2 of the single-serving containers out, added them to the tray, and then yanked spoons from the drawer. Satisfied that he had all the bases covered and that he'd given Josie enough time to prepare for bed and to get over any nerves she was feeling, he headed back toward the bedroom. When he walked in, she was sitting cross-legged in the middle of the bed, and he was absurdly taken by the image of her in his bed, comfortable, bare feet, like she belonged. She was wearing silky, hot pink pajamas, long-legged and long-sleeved, covering her entire body, buttoned to the neck. He'd give her this tonight, that barrier. But after this, she would come to their bed with nothing. She'd sleep next to him, her skin against his. Her eyes widened when she saw the tray he carried, and she scrambled up, scooting back off the bed so he could set the tray down. "Pull back the covers," he directed. "We'll get into bed and I'll put the tray on the nightstand. You can eat in bed next to me." She hastily pulled back the comforter and the sheet and even plumped the pillows before crawling back onto the mattress. As he said, he set the tray down on his side of the bed and then strode toward his closet to strip out of his clothing. He faced a dilemma because he never wore anything but boxers to bed. Then he shrugged. It wasn't as if he was completely nude, and he'd promised her that she'd only rest in his arms. He wasn't putting the moves on her, so his boxers would do.
When he walked back out, he felt her gaze on him even as she tried to hide the fact that she was watching him. It was adorable the way she peeked from underneath her lashes and the color heightened in her cheeks when he crawled onto the bed beside her. He offered her the fruit and cheese first, and then slipped a glass of wine in her free hand. He offered her bites, enjoying the slight brush of her lips over his fingertips, and she seemed to derive as much pleasure from eating from his hand as he did in feeding her this way. A dreamy, contented look entered her eyes. Some of the earlier shadows chased away as she relaxed. Tension drifted from her shoulders, and they settled, her entire body going slack.
"Hungry?"
he asked huskily, entranced by the provocative image she presented. Finally, in his bed, just inches away. His body screamed at him to take her, to take what was his even as he mentally chastised it for being an impatient asshole.
"Starved," she admitted. "I haven't eaten well over the past few days."
His expression darkened and anger vibrated once more from his body.
"You'll take better care of yourself from now on." "I'll take better care of you," he amended.
She smiled.
"It's not solely because of Michael and what happened. I've been busy with work."
He knew well why, but he asked anyway because it would seem odd not to, and she was offering information, relaxing around him, and he wanted that. Wanted easy communication, no hesitancy or reserve on her part.
"What have you been working on?"
Color tinged her cheeks, and he glanced curiously at her.
"I've been working on an erotic series of paintings. Not too over the top. Tasteful. Sexy, but still classy."
Excitement gleamed in her eyes as she sat back a moment, refusing further food from his hand.
"I sold all my work that was exhibited in the art gallery where I sell on consignment. It was the most incredible thing. Mr. Downing had told me he couldn't take anything else of mine because nothing had sold, and I had already brought him the first painting in the series I'm working on. Then he called to tell me the news that not only had he sold everything, but that he wanted more, and that a buyer was interested in whatever I brought in. I spent the week working on the rest of that series."
She ducked her head self-consciously and then peeked back up at him from underneath her lashes.
"They're self-portraits. I mean, not that you can tell who it is, but I used my likeness in a series of nude poses. I have a tattoo, one I designed myself, and it features prominently in the paintings. I like them. I think they're good. I hope the buyer will like them too."
There was a note of anxiety at the end of her statement that made his heart clench. Hell yes, he'd like them, and he'd be damned if anyone else even got to see them. They would be his, only his. And only he would see her without her clothing. That was for him, and him alone. No doubt Josie was a beautiful woman, and there was also little doubt that men and women alike would be drawn to the paintings. She had talent, no matter what the moron gallery manager had said about her style. It was only a matter of time before others discovered that talent. Ash was just glad he got to those paintings before someone else did. The idea of anyone else having something so intimate of Josie's made his teeth clench.
"I'm sure your buyer will love them," he said.
Even as he spoke, he made a mental note to call Mr. Downing first thing Monday morning and make damn sure he wrapped and delivered the paintings to Ash's office.
"I'd love to have seen them myself."
She blushed, but smiled and then said,
"Perhaps I can take you down to the gallery to see them. I only just dropped them off. Maybe the buyer won't have bought them yet. They may sit there for days."
He leaned in, touching her cheek and letting his fingers travel down her jaw to her neck, where he pushed back the long blonde strands of her hair.
"I'd rather you draw me something new, something no one but me will see. Perhaps even something a bit more erotic than your other paintings."
Her eyes widened, and then her brow furrowed as if she were visualizing the painting already. Her lips parted, and her breath escaped in an excited rush. He could literally see her painting it in her mind.
"I have ideas," she said. I'd love to do something more personal. I mean, as long as you never displayed it.
He shook his head solemnly. No one but me will ever see it. I'll treasure whatever you paint for me, Josie. But if you give me you, the sexy you, you can be damn certain it will only be for me and nobody else.
Okay, she murmured, her face flushed with color and arousal.
Have you had enough to eat?
She nodded and handed him the half-empty glass of wine. He set it aside and then took the tray to his dresser and left it before returning to the bed. And Josie.
He climbed in, holding his arm out so she could nestle beside him. They were leaned up against his mound of pillows, her body anchored against his.
Now tell me about Michael, Ash said in an even tone.
She stiffened against him, and for a long moment she was silent. Then she sagged and blew out her breath.
I was so wrong about him, she whispered. I never imagined him capable of something like this. Even during our relationship, when he exerted his dominance, it was always done in a restrained, careful manner. He always treated me very carefully, like he was determined never to hurt me.
Where were you when this occurred? Ash demanded. Did you go see him?
She shook her head. No, he came to me.
Ash swore. You let him into your apartment?
She pushed up and off him, turning so she could look him in the eye.
Why wouldn't I have?
Ash, we were lovers. He never gave me any reason to believe he'd hurt me. He never lost his temper, not once. I never even saw him angry. He's always been very calm and restrained. He came to see me because he didn't believe I was serious about ending our relationship. He brought the collar back, apologizing, saying that it evidently meant something to me and that he would be aware of that going forward.
Ash frowned, but didn't interrupt her.
When I told him it was over, he demanded to know why.
She broke off, glancing away, folding her hands in her lap as she presented her profile to him. He pulled her tighter against him, molding her to his body. He could feel her pulse, how agitated she'd become.
What happened then?
He asked softly.
I told him that he couldn't give me the things another man had promised me, she whispered.
Ash's hold tightened further.
Go on. He freaked. I mean, completely lost it. The words were barely out of my mouth when he slapped me. I was so shocked that I didn't even know what to do. And then he was standing over me, where I had fallen, and he hit me again. He wrapped his hands in my hair and accused me of cheating on him, told me that he'd handled me far too gently, that if he'd been the way he should have with me, this would have never happened, that I would have never cheated.
Son of a bitch, Ash ground out. I'll kill him for this.
She shook her head violently.
No, Ash, leave it alone. It's done with. It's over.
The hell it is!
He calmed his breathing and forced the rage from his mind and eased his grip on her arm where his fingers had dug into her skin. She would wear no marks from him, none that weren't given in passion and tenderness, none that she wouldn't want to wear.
I should have gone to the police, she said in a low voice. I should have pressed charges, had him arrested. But God, I was just in shock. And then I felt so stupid. How could I not have seen this in him? That capacity for violence? How could I have had sex with him and never known what lay underneath his facade? When I think of what could have happened, I trusted him implicitly. I gave him full access to my body. He could have done anything to me. It's why...
She broke off, going silent against him. He pushed her hair from her battered cheek and then pressed a kiss to the bruised flesh.
Why what?
He asked gently.
She closed her eyes.
It's why I didn't call you. Why I didn't come to you. Why I didn't accept what you offered. I was afraid.
He tensed, his gaze focusing intently on her. Afraid of me?
She nodded miserably. He sucked in his breath. He understood. He didn't like hearing it, but he understood.
I get it, he said.
stroking his hand, upper arm. You thought because you misjudged him so badly that you couldn't trust your judgment of me and my intentions. She nodded again. I understand, but Josie, you need to get this. I am not Michael. She glanced back up at him, hope stirring in her eyes. She wanted to believe him, wanted to trust herself and her instincts where he was concerned. I will never hurt you, he said, the vow coming solemnly from his lips. If we have issues, we work them out. And it does not involve me raising my hand to you, ever.
Okay, she whispered.
Come here, he murmured, stretching his other arm to her.
She didn't hesitate and promptly buried herself against his chest. He wrapped both arms around her and held her close, breathing in her scent.
Pisses me off that you'll wear those bruises for several more days. I don't like seeing them, but more than me not liking to see them is you having to see them and remember him hurting you.
I'm okay, she said against his chest.
You're not. Yet. But you will be, he promised. Give me that, Josie. Give me the chance to show you that we're right together. I get that you're gun-shy right now and that you're doubting yourself, but give yourself into my care. Give me that chance. You won't regret it.
She was silent for a long moment, one that had him on edge as he waited for her acceptance. Then she gave it. One simple word, laced with uncertainty but quiet determination.
Okay.
His own chest caved in a bit. He breathed in and out for several seconds before squeezing her to him.
Sleep now, Josie. Tomorrow we'll decide what to do about your apartment.
He held her just as he was doing until her body went lax against his and the soft, even sounds of her breathing filled his ears. And still he waited, tense, replaying every word she'd said earlier. The fear in her voice, the self-condemnation, the image of her lying on the floor, Michael standing over her while he hurt her, made it impossible for him to sleep. It was well past midnight when he quietly picked up his cell phone from the nightstand and punched Jace's number from his contacts list.
What the hell? His friend mumbled into the phone. This better be good, Ash.
I need an alibi, Ash said.
There was a long silence.
Jesus.
Fuck. What the hell, man? Do you need help? What's going on?
Ash glanced down at Josie, her eyelashes resting on her cheeks, the shadow of a bruise still on her face.
Not now, but soon. Right now, Josie needs me. She needs comfort and peace, and she needs to know that I will never hurt her. For now, I'm going to spend every minute making sure she knows this. But then I'm going after the bastard who put these bruises on her face, and I'll need you to help provide an alibi if it becomes necessary.
Christ, Ash. What the fuck? Someone hurt Josie?
Yeah, Ash bit out. And I'm going to make sure he never touches her or any woman ever again.
Jace blew out his breath over the phone as he grew quiet.
Whatever you need, man. You have it. Never have to ask.
Thanks, man, Ash murmured. Talk to you later.
Chapter 12.
Josie stirred and tried to stretch, but immediately ran into a hard body. Her eyes flew open, and she blinked rapidly as confusion ran through her mind. Then she remembered. She was in bed with Ash, in Ash's apartment. In his arms. Her gaze met the hard wall of his chest, saw the rise and fall of that beautiful male flesh. She inhaled, savoring his smell. Her lips were so close that she could easily press her mouth to his skin, and she was tempted. But they weren't lovers waking up after a night making love. They hadn't had sex at all. Yet. They didn't know each other at all beyond a few pleasantries and one conversation over dinner. And yet, she was here in his bed after agreeing to move in with him. She closed her eyes and wondered again if she was making the right decision. Her mind and heart argued incessantly, and she still wasn't sure who was the clear winner. Maybe there wasn't one. She was going to have to wing this because there was no clear and easy right decision. Hesitantly, she lifted her gaze, holding her breath, as she looked up to see if he was awake. Her eyes met his, and she felt the jolt all the way to her toes. He was definitely awake, and he was staring intently at her, as if he could reach in and pluck her thoughts right from her head.
"Good morning," he murmured.
She dipped her head as heat crept over her cheeks. "Josie?" She glanced back up to see the question in his eyes.
"What's wrong?"
he asked gently. She swallowed.
"This is hard."
He slid his hand up her body, over her arm, and then up to tangle in her hair before brushing his fingers over the curve of her cheek.
"Never said it would be easy. Nothing good ever is."
That was true enough, and no, Ash would definitely never be easy. Nothing about him was simple or uncomplicated.
"Like waking up, you in my arms?"
The statement rumbled from his chest, and warmth seeped into her blood, traveling through her body.
"I liked it too," she whispered.
"Why did you feel safe here?" Ash said in a serious tone. "Safe with me."
"I do."
"Good. Now, give me your mouth so I can tell you good morning properly."
She tilted her chin upward and placed her hand against his chest. He flinched beneath her touch, his muscles tight and quivering. She withdrew hastily, but he caught her hand and guided it back to his chest.
"Like you touching me," he murmured.
"I'll want it often, just like I'll be wanting to touch you any time you're near me. If we're in the same room, Josie, I'm going to be touching you."
And then he kissed her, his warm, sensual mouth working exquisitely over hers. It was gentle, undemanding, coaxing, almost. She sighed into his mouth and relaxed, going limp against him, trapping her hand between their bodies.
"Been waiting for this," he murmured. "You in my bed, your mouth on mine. You, the very first thing I taste in the morning. The last week has driven me crazy, Josie, waiting for you, for this, and I finally have it. I'm not letting it go."
"I've been waiting too,"
she admitted, and she had. She'd dreamed about it, wondered how it would feel. And now she knew. It felt right. Her earlier worries evaporated, her questions, her fears, the idea that she was making the wrong decision. They were gone in a perfect moment of absolute rightness. This was what she wanted, what he could give her, and she wasn't going to fight it or herself any longer. He rolled her onto her back, coming up and over her, his body looming big and strong. He kissed her again, deepening it this time, allowing his urgency to bleed into her mouth. His lips moved strongly over hers, demanding, taking. He stole her breath. She couldn't breathe because he didn't let her.
"I was determined to wait, to be patient," he rasped out. "Can't do it, Josie. I have to have you now. Tell me you're with me. You have to be with me. I can't be the only one feeling like I'm going to die if I don't get inside you."
His impassioned words cut to her core. She arched into him, inviting him, without words. But he stopped, his eyes boring intently into hers. He wanted the words. He demanded them.
"Tell me," he demanded. "Tell me you're with me, Josie. I want to hear you say it so there's no doubt that this is what you want. As much as I want you, as much as I have to have you, if you're not with me, this stops now."
"I'm with you," she said breathlessly, her heart surging, adrenaline spiking through her veins.
"Thank fuck," he breathed.
He kissed her again as if he couldn't stand to have his mouth away from hers for even a moment. Then he reluctantly dragged his head away, his eyes brimming with lust and arousal.
"Need to get a condom. We'll talk about alternatives later, but for now, you have to be protected. And we have to get rid of those pajamas. Pink is you. Definitely your color, but right now, I'm dying to see that tattoo."
She smiled as he rolled off her and rummaged in his nightstand drawer. Then he came back to her and pushed his hands underneath her pajama top to the waistband of her bottoms. Been dying to see it ever since that first day in the park where I got just a glimpse when your shirt came up.
You saw it already?
She asked in surprise. He smiled, pausing in his downward push of her bottoms.
Yeah, drove me crazy. I've been thinking about it. I want to see just how far it extends.
She lifted her butt so he could pull her pajamas the rest of the way off. He tossed the bottoms aside and then began working his way up from the last button, slowly opening her top to reveal the rest of her body. When he loosened the last button, he pushed the material apart and over her shoulders. She hitched herself upward, wanting to be rid of the top every bit as much as he did. This time, it was she who sent the piece of clothing sailing across the room to hit the floor near the bathroom. His gaze was riveted to the tattoo. She watched as his eyes tracked downward, following the line of the design to where it flowed over the top of her thigh and disappeared between her legs. She shivered at the intensity in that stare. There was a brooding possessiveness, a look that screamed, "Mine." Ash turned Josie gently on her side, wanting to see the entirety of the tattoo. It was startling in its vibrancy, a shock of color against pale skin. Done in pinks, oranges, aqua blues that matched her eyes, and shades of purple and green. It was, as he'd suspected, a flowering vine, but it was rendered in exquisite detail. This was no simple tattoo done in a few hours' time. He couldn't imagine the time it had taken, the patience exerted in getting the design done just right. He let his fingers trail over her skin, tracing the lines to where it flared over her hip, and then across the top of her thigh before dipping lower on the inside of her thigh. He turned her again to her back this time, his fingers resting next to the golden curls covering her mound.
"Show me," he said in a low growl. "Spread your legs, Josie. Show me the tattoo in that sweet little pussy."
Her eyes blanked and widened, the pupils flaring and then constricting. But she obeyed instantly, her legs going slack, and slowly parting to bear herself to his gaze. He stroked the soft curls, approving of her easy acquiescence.
"Beautiful," he said, the words thick in his throat.
The tattoo, all that sweet, pink, feminine flesh, Josie was beautiful. The intricate design curved around the inside of her thigh, coming to a stop just at the back of her leg. It was a bright, floral blanket over her skin, vibrant like her, a perfect reflection of her personality and artistry. There would be plenty of time to exert his dominance, to have her submit in all manner of ways. Today was about their first time together and establishing trust. It was about him taking care of her needs, pleasuring her. He would be infinitely gentle, because before it was over with, he knew he'd take everything. He'd demand everything. So for this one time, he would give her an experience that would become the basis of their bond. He leaned down, pressing his mouth between her breasts. She arched into him, seeking more of his mouth. So he gave her more, kissing a line down to her belly. A soft moan escaped, and her stomach clenched and quivered beneath his mouth. The anticipation of tasting her intimately had him doing his own amount of quivering. He was walking a razor's edge. The urge to spread her wider and plunge into her was overwhelming. He wanted to claim her. It was a primitive instinct, one that had ruled his thoughts since the moment he'd laid eyes on her. And now she was here, naked, in his bed, his to do with what he wanted. He was going to damn well savor the gift and appreciate it for what it was worth. She'd given him her trust, and he knew how huge that was given the circumstances. He pressed a kiss to the silky hairs over her pussy, and then nuzzled deeper, inhaling her scent as he spread her further to his advances. He stroked his fingers through her velvety folds, spreading moisture from her opening up to her clit, so his fingers slid more easily and he wouldn't irritate the sensitive flesh.
"Ash!"
His name exploded from her mouth. He loved the way she said it, the sound of his name on her lips. And he knew he could make her even crazier with desire just as soon as he got his mouth where his fingers were. Using his fingers to open her to him, he pushed in, swiping his mouth from her entrance to her clit, her wetness like honey on his tongue. A ragged moan tore from her throat, and suddenly her hand was in his hair, fingers clenching over his scalp.
He sucked lightly at her clit, exerting just enough pressure to send spasms of pleasure through her legs. Then he licked downward again, wanting more of her silken, hot dampness. His tongue slid inside her, fucking her in slow, sensual strokes. While he may have decided that this time would be all about her and her pleasure, making her writhe beneath him was also his pleasure. He was hard and aching, so aroused that his head was spinning.
"Give me one," he said huskily, raising his head to look up her body. "In my mouth, Josie. Come, all over my mouth. I'll work you back up again. I'll make it good for you."
Her eyes were glazed with passion, her lips red and swollen from his kisses and the fact her teeth had found purchase there while he'd eaten her.
"You like my mouth, Josie?"
"Oh, yeah," she breathed.
"You're very good with your tongue." "You inspire me," he said with a chuckle.
She moaned again when he slid his tongue back inside her liquid heat, tasting her from the inside out. Deciding to up the tension and get her off with his tongue inside her, he slipped his thumb over her clit, rolling as he continued to lick and suck, acting like his tongue was his dick. Her ass came off the bed, bucking upward at the pressure he exerted with his thumb. She went even softer around his tongue, hot, sleek, spilling into his mouth. He lapped hungrily, greedy for her orgasm. With his free hand, he inserted one finger, moving his tongue only long enough to reach inside her, stroke the silky walls, and then press deep. She clutched at his finger like a greedy fist, holding on when he withdrew, and replaced it once again with his tongue.
"Now, Josie," he growled, "get there."
He stroked her with his fingers and his tongue, and she went wild beneath him. She let loose a torrent of energy as she quaked around him, her legs closed against his head, anchoring him in place as he continued to lap hungrily at her, and then a sudden burst of heated honey on his tongue. She rolled her hips and bucked as wave after wave of her orgasm washed over them both. God damn, but his dick was going to be permanently imprinted on the mattress. It was rigid and straining underneath him, hungry for what his mouth was currently getting. He rose up when he sensed her orgasm had faded to the stage where she was too hypersensitive to his continued ministrations. Hunching over her, palms planted on either side of her head so his weight wouldn't press down on her, he leaned down, angling his head to kiss her, so she could taste herself, so he could share it with her.
"Your passion, your sweetness, Josie. Never tasted anything sweeter. It's you on my tongue, and now on your own."
She groaned, and it sounded nearly pained, but she kissed him back every bit as hungrily. Her nipples were rigid peaks, jutting upward as if begging for his mouth, just as her pussy had. He'd get to those next, but first he wanted to sample her mouth and her neck. Then he'd work down to her delectable breasts.
"Can I touch you?" she whispered. "Never have to ask that,"
he murmured against her ear. He licked the shell, eliciting a shiver through her body.
"I want you touching me often. I'll never not want it. If you're with me, I want you touching me. Even if it's not sexual. I'm a feely person, Josie. Don't know if that bothers you. Hope to hell it doesn't. And I don't give a shit if it's in public or not. I have no problem with the world knowing you're mine."
She sighed and slid her hands over his shoulders and then down his back. He goddamn near purred as her nails dug into his skin.
"I like that," she said. "What part?" "All of it. Michael wasn't like that."
Her eyes became troubled, almost as if she realized that it wasn't likely a good idea to bring him up, especially when Ash was about to get his dick inside her for the first time. He made certain his face softened, not wanting her to think she'd made him angry.
"Wasn't like what?"
"Demonstrative. He wasn't into affection. Touching me. Except when we had sex. But only then, and even so, it was very impersonal. But the way you say it sounds nice. Like you want me to be close to you. To touch you."
"Hell yes I do," he said. "Don't give a fuck who knows it, either."
She smiled and then shivered again when he bent to graze his teeth over the skin just below her ear.
"I'm liking this, Ash," she whispered. All of it. And that scares me because it sounds too good to be true.
Glad it appeals, Josie. Would suck if it didn't, because this is who I am and what I offer. It's not too good to be true. It's just good. Now let's focus on the matter at hand, because if I don't get my dick inside you soon, it's going to become very painful for me.
She looked alarmed, but he grinned, letting her know he was only half kidding. Because it was pretty damn painful. It had been a long-ass time since he'd sported an erection this long without doing something about it. And eating her sweet pussy while his dick was poking the damn mattress was not an experience he wanted to repeat anytime soon. He'd much prefer 69 with her sucking him off while he feasted on her. But as with all of the other fantasies he had, it would have to wait. And now that he had her exactly where he wanted, he had all the time in the world to explore every sexual kink he could possibly ever want to pull out of his repertoire. He turned his attention to her breasts, and they were perfect breasts. Small, without being too small, but not too big either. Just enough swell to make his mouth water, and her nipples were absolutely perfect pink confections. He ran his tongue around one puckered ridge, tracing every detail, licking the point before sucking it strongly into his mouth. Her entire body went rigid, her gasps filling the air and sliding over his ears with a warm buzz.
Ash.
The way she said his name, he knew she wanted to ask something. He looked up, connecting with her gaze, watching in fascination as the color turned electric, a shock of blue-green awash with desire.
I want to taste you too, she whispered. I want to make you feel as good as you made me feel.
He smiled tenderly at her and then leaned down to kiss the corner of her mouth.
You will, but right now is about you, and me making you go over as many times as I can. Believe me when I say, you'll get my dick in your mouth soon.
Looking forward to it, she said in a hazy murmur.
Me too,
he said before lowering his mouth back to her breast. He lazily toyed with her nipples, alternating between them, licking them into hard points before sucking hard with just enough bite to make her let out the most erotic sounds. She wasn't a quiet lover. She was extremely vocal, a multitude of sounds slipping from her lips, all sexy as hell, the ultimate sounds of female pleasure. He groped for the condom he'd taken out, tore the wrapper, and then reached down to roll it on. He winced when his hand made contact with his dick. He was so hard and so close to coming that even his own touch was painful.
Are you all right?
She whispered.
I will be in just about 3 seconds,
he murmured back as he slid a finger inside her to gauge her readiness. She was still swollen and snug from her orgasm, and he broke into a sweat, imagining how fucking sweet she was going to feel all closed around his cock, squeezing and milking it for every drop of his release. Shit, but he had to get it together or he was going to come in the condom right now. Taking deep breaths, he positioned himself over her, nudging her entrance with the head of his dick as he planted his hands on either side of her head.
Reach down and guide me in, he said hoarsely. Wrap your fingers around me and put me inside you, baby.
He caught her reaction to the endearment, approval and delight flashing in her eyes. He tucked that little piece of information away and then closed his eyes when her hand found him. Her fingers circled his width, stroking up and down as she positioned him at the mouth of her pussy. Sweat broke out on his forehead, and he clamped his lips together in an effort to keep it together.
Take me, she whispered. You're there, Ash. Come inside me now.
Readily, he pushed in, ensuring that he wasn't too forceful and that she was able to accommodate him easily. She was damn snug, but she stretched, enveloping him as he thrust deeper and harder this time.
Now move your hands and put them above your head against the headboard, he said.
She twitched and pulsed in reaction, her pussy going wetter and hotter around him. Slowly, she did as he directed, lifting her hands and then putting them over her head. He reared up and then slid his hands underneath her ass so he could hold her and position her so he could get even deeper inside her. He glanced down, drawn by the sight of his cock sliding in and out of her pussy. Then his hands glided from her ass up her legs until he hooked them behind his back, opening her further so she was completely accessible.
How close are you to coming again?
He asked, breathing through his nose as he sought for control.
Close, she whispered. But I need...
She bit her lip and broke off, her gaze falling from his.
Look at me,
he bit out. Her gaze snapped back to his, her eyes wide.
What do you need?
For you to touch me.
Color flooded her cheeks and suffused her body, making it delectably pink.
I've never been able to come from just penetration.
He lowered himself, coming to rest on his forearms so his face was just above hers, their mouths precariously close.
A lot of women can't come without clitoral stimulation, he said gently. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Furthermore, even if it was an oddity, you don't ever hesitate to tell me what you need in bed. Got it? I can't please you if I don't know what turns you on and what doesn't. And I want you to be pleased because that makes me happy.
Got it,
she returned softly.
Use your hand,
he said, carefully reaching up to tug one of her hands down between them.
I'm going to go hard, baby. I'm about to explode here. Build-up's been too long. Once I start going, I can't stop, so you need to make sure.